Take your Bibles and go to Acts chapter number 27. Acts chapter number 27. This sermon that I want to preach this morning ended up being lengthy. We've got two choices here. We can stay till 1 o'clock and I can do all of it, or I can preach half of it this week and half of it next week. How many of you would like to stay till 1 o'clock? How many would, okay, two or three Pharisees? And then how many of you really would like just to maybe split this thing in four? Some of you want me to put it in four pieces, all right? Maybe make a year series out of it. We could be out in 3 minutes then. And all right, we got the Pharisees and we got all the carnality. And so, amen. And so I will. But here's the deal. If you want me to split it into two, then you've got to come next Sunday and hear the second part. That's the deal. Oh, wait a minute, where'd the enthusiasm go, man? All right, so one way or another, there's always a catch when you're dealing with a preacher, so be careful. Acts chapter 27, and I do want to help you, and I want to preach a message next Sunday that we're going to lay the groundwork for, and it's really the sermon of the two that I'm most excited to preach. And so I'm going to preach the least best of the two messages this week. It's really sad that you chose this week to come. And so in order to hear the best of the two sermons, you're really just going to have to need to come back next Sunday. And I promise you it will be a much better and more encouraging sermon than what you're going to hear this morning. But the name of the message that I'll preach next week is this: Finding Hope in a Hopeless Situation. Finding Hope in a Hopeless Situation. I love Acts chapter 27, but there's a verse that I read in this portion of scripture that just kind of, just one of those, there's a handful of verses that when you read them in the Bible, there's a sadness to them. There's a grief in the wording. And we'll see that in verse number 20, but let's all stand please, and I'll read verses 14 down to verse number 20. This is the story of a shipwreck. And this is the story of a hurricane, a cyclone, and this is the story of people caught in a storm. But boy, I'll tell you what, as you go down through this, this story is a story of hope, hope found in a hopeless situation. Now, this morning I'm going to preach on this, how to avoid a hopeless situation. And then next week I'm going to preach this message, the message, Finding Hope in a Hopeless Situation. Verse 14, but not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship. And fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strike sail, and so were driven, and we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest. What a statement. The next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. Notice verse 20, if you will. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay upon us, here's the phrase, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. What a statement. What a statement. Finding hope in a hopeless situation. But this week, let's first of all learn how to avoid a hopeless situation. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to read this portion of scripture together. And Lord, there's some wonderful things that we're going to discover this morning, and some good admonition and some good warnings and some good principles. I pray that we'll take it to heart, Lord. I think as we read the Bible that there are times, Lord, when storms are unavoidable. And then, Lord, there are other times, dear God, when sometimes we end up in a storm where, Lord, it's really of our own design, of our own decision. And, Lord, I pray, dear God, as we review a year and look forward to a new one, we'll first of all learn how to better avoid potential hopeless situations. And then also next week, Lord, how, for the Christian, there's really never such thing as a hopeless situation, because with Christ, there's always hope. And so I pray that you'll help us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. And I want to start out the message by saying this. Not everybody that is facing a storm or in the midst of a storm is there because they're outside the will of God or because of the mistakes or that they've made in their own personal life. I can give you an illustration on that. For instance, Jesus, if we were to go and read forward into the or back into the Gospels, there was a time when he commanded his disciples to get into a ship. And he sent them across the Sea of Galilee. So Jesus put them in the ship and Jesus told them to go. And guess what? In the midst of the Sea of Galilee, a storm hit. And so here was someone who was obeying Christ in the center of God's will, doing what Christ said to do. And yet here comes the storms. And so I think we got to be very careful as we watch people go through difficulties that we don't become judgmental. And if we're not careful, we begin to think, well, I wonder what they did. Or the Lord must be punishing them for some reason. By the way, I think that's very unfair. I think we got to be careful about doing that. I will tell you this, you're going to have a lot more compassion for people who are in storms if you've gone through a few storms yourself in life. And so not always when we see a brother or sister in Christ in the midst of a storm, are they there because they were unwise in placing themselves. But I'm also going to flip that coin over and say this. I doubt if there's very few people in this room that could stand and honestly testify and say, I've never had to face some storms that I was not a part of putting myself in that storm. I made some mistakes. I didn't use good judgment. I didn't listen to good counsel. I forgot or failed to incorporate some principles that would have helped me to avoid that. The Bible says the prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, and not everything that's coming on the horizon, if we're wise enough, do we have to fall victim to. And so I want to help you this morning because I believe that there are some storms in life that we may have suffered in 2014 that we're simply part of the will of God, but there may also be some things that we went through and we contributed to that situation. And so let's learn from that. And then next week as we go into 2015, let's find new hope. How to avoid a hopeless situation? There's no feeling so demoralizing as the feeling of hopelessness. Hopelessness. When all hope is taken away, a man confronts despair. Satan wants you to believe that your situation is hopeless. Listen to me, I want to tell you where that's coming from. Satan wants you to believe that your situation is hopeless. Hopeless people do desperate things. You know what, folks? If you were to diagnose, and many of you, some of you have been victim, we have in our family, we've had to deal within our inner circle family, the tragedy of suicide. And let me just say this, nobody ever gets to that point who first of all does not pass and get into a state of despair or hopelessness. Now, if you read the Bible, God always brings hope. But the Satan wants to take hope. God brings encouragement. The devil wants to create an environment of despair. And so what we need to understand is this, watch this. God wants you to understand that in his eyes, there has never been, nor ever will be, a hopeless situation. But here these folks in this portion of Scripture got to the point where they felt like that, here's the phrase, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. I want to examine, if you will, with me, this portion of Scripture. And I want to go back and see what preceded the storm and see if we can help ourselves going into a new year be much wiser when it comes to avoiding potential hopeless situations. Preacher, in this portion of Scripture, did they have to be in the midst of this storm? Here's the answer, no. A proper Bible examination of this portion of Scripture will tell you that they could have avoided this storm. And so let's simply learn from this. Now, let's back up, if you will, in verse number 7. Watch this. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmon. And hardly passing it, came into a place that is called, watch this, the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, wait a minute. Remember I talked about in a minute ago taking a 3x5 card and as you're studying the Bible, look for key verses, key phrases. As I read this, I'm looking for something. I'm wanting to find out something. Listen, I have no desire in my heart to spend part of 2015 in the middle of a cyclone, in the middle of a hurricane that I could have avoided. I don't want to watch the ship destroyed out from underneath me because I simply failed to learn the principles that I'm going to present to you this morning. So I'm searching right now. I'm looking right now. And so where did they end up? They end up in a place, hardly passing it, came into a place, verse 8, which is called, here it is, the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now notice verse 9. Here's the phrase I would underline. Now when much time was spent. Now, I'm going to help you with something here. Watch this, folks. Did God send Paul to the Fair Havens? Those of you that know the book of Acts here and what's going on, was this Paul's destination? Was this where God wanted Paul to go? Was it the final destination? Was it the place he was to stop and... No. He was supposed to go to Rome. He was supposed to stand before Caesar. He was supposed to bring the gospel to Caesar's household. And by the way, isn't that exciting that Paul was able to win people, members of the family of Caesar himself, the very one that would sentence him to be decapitated, to be martyred. He would win members of his household to Christ. That's where he was supposed to go. But watch this. Stay with me. I'm going to help you right here. Along the journey, they came to a place called the Fair Havens. Now, folks, I've never been there. I don't even know where it's at. But I'm going to tell you, I just read the title of it and I want to go. I mean, if it's one of those places that if you're going to open a resort, you ought to consider naming it the Fair Havens. I mean, I don't know what it was like, but if it was anything like what it sounds like, it's a place I want to go. I mean, it just sounds good. And I'm sure it was a very comfortable place. I mean, a place isn't called the capital T. Did you notice that? The, like the Ohio State, the Fair Havens. It's not called the Fair Havens with a capital T if this is not a good place to go and a proper destination. Now, stay with me here. I like when about seven of the college football guys actually know what I'm talking about. Amen. All right, here we go. Now watch this. Let me give you something. How do you avoid a hopeless situation? Don't spend too much time in the Fair Havens of life. Wait a minute, preacher. That's what I'm looking for. Watch this. Stay with me. Watch this. Peter Cartwright said this. My job as a preacher is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Every Christian needs to be challenged. Every Christian, the Christian life, folks, watch this, is a journey of grace, but it is a mountain climbing journey. Are you listening to me? A mountain climbing journey that requires faith in God and a daily determination to climb upward. I don't know how many of you have ever been involved in climbing a mountain or climbing steep hills, going up a steep grade. Well, let me tell you how you do it. And on any mountain or any hill that you're trying to climb, especially if it is a long one, you're going to get tired climbing. You're going to take off if you're young and think, this isn't a problem. I'll just run right up this thing. But something's going to begin to happen as you are climbing. All of a sudden, your calves are going to begin to burn and your legs are going to begin to hurt. And I don't care how good a shape you are, you're going to climb for a while. And all of a sudden, the oxygen is going to get thin and you're going to get tired. And you know what you're going to need from time to time as you go up? You're going to need to find a ledge. You might need to find a little bit of a rest stop. You're going to need to find a little bit of a flat place. And I want to tell you this. The Lord provides those things in our journey. But you know what? The Christian life is a uphill climb. I mean, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. I want higher ground. I don't want lower ground. I don't want the same ground. I want higher ground. Let me say this. I hope it's your heart. I want to be a better Christian in 2015 than I was in 2014. Nobody's arrived here. All of us need to be climbing. All of us need to be growing. And so we understand that the Christian life is an upward journey. But because of the
of the fact that it is. Sometimes it's tiresome, and sometimes it makes you weary. And thank God when God gives you those little plateaus, those little ledges, those little places where you can stop. I mean, when you're climbing, there's two directions to go. You're either going up or you're going down. But along the upward path are ledges of reprise, places of grace, where a Christian is allowed to catch their breath. Now watch this, folks. If we're not careful, we get to one of those ledges and we decide what we want to do is just get out the lawn chair and the thermos of lemonade. And hey, this is pretty nice. I mean, preacher, I'm going to sit here and catch my breath, and I'm going to sit here and enjoy the view, and I'm going to sit here and rest my soul and my body, and that's fine. But then continue to climb upward. You see, folks, I believe that the journey we see here as they are going on this ship had necessary stops along the way. There's stops where they needed to resupply. There's stops where the sailors need to have a break and some rest. There were some stops where that are necessary as far as getting into the journey. But wait a minute. They got to a place called Fair Havens. They had not arrived. They had not finished the race. They had not finished the will of God. And you know what the Bible says? It says this: much time was spent there. Much time was spent there. Now listen to me, folks. What Peter Cartwright said is good. My job as a preacher is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. I think that if we're not careful, we get to a comfortable place in our Christian life, a place where we're no longer challenged, a place where, you know what, I kind of like where I'm at, preacher. I'm higher than some people. Yeah, but you're not as high as God wants you to go. I've climbed for a long time, preacher. Come on, can't I just kind of wait for Jesus to come sitting here on the ledge watching the sunrise and the sunset? Folks, watch this. There's a day to rest, but it's not on this earth. Oh, there's a restful day. There's a haven of rest, but you know what, folks? It's on the other side. And so I want to encourage you, be careful. God used Isaac Watts, the 16th century preacher-songwriter, to pen these words: am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood in this vile world, a friend to grace to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. You know what he understood? He understood this. Listen, folks. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. And you know what? I don't want the people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to get too comfortable. Preacher, I just want to find a vacation spot. You will. It's called heaven. And you're going to have a mansion, and it's going to be amazing and wonderful, and there'll be no burdens, and there'll be no pain. But folks, listen to me. Until Jesus comes, we're to work. Work, for the night is coming when no man can work. And so just be careful. Where are you at? Where are you at in your Christian life? Because one of the reasons that they ended up in a storm was they got to a place where they got too comfortable. And you know what? They spent too much time in comfort and did not continue on in a timely fashion the journey that God had for them. Let me give you the second thing that went wrong here. Say, preacher, how do you avoid getting yourself in a potentially what seems to be hopeless situation? Number one, don't spend too much time in the fair havens of life. Number two, listen to the warnings of the man of God. Listen to the warnings of the man of God. Now look, if you will, in verse number 9. Now when much time was spent, when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs. Again, if I'm going to underline something, I'm going to underline the next two words. I perceive. Now that's interesting. The Apostle Paul steps forward. Wait a minute, is he the captain of the ship? Is he the owner of the ship? Wait a minute, is he a sailor by birth? I mean, is this what he spent his life doing? Who is this man that he would have an opinion about when to sail and when not to sail? Stay with me. And said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. The word perceived there means to discern. And let me say this, folks, the reason that Paul felt like he had an obligation to step forward and warn them about the voyage they were about to take is because he walked with God. He walked with God. And you know what? God communicated some things to his man that he's not going to communicate to the heathen owner of a ship, the master of a ship. And folks, I want to just see if I can help you. Please listen to what I have to say. And if you want to throw rocks at me, I you know what? Throw all the rocks you want to. Preacher, you're being self-serving. No, I'm being a Bible preacher and I'm begging for you to listen to me. You know what, folks? Listen to me. God has sent you a pastor.
Yes, sir.
And he's going to come to the pulpit and he's going to preach the word of God.
Yes,
and through the preaching of the word of God, there's going to be warnings that are sounded into your life. Listen to those warnings.
Yes,
listen to those warnings. I'm not telling you what Jerry Ross thinks. I'm not preaching that this morning. I'm preaching what the Bible says. If you've got a preacher that loves you and preaches the Bible to you, and you know what, warns you through the word of God about a direction you're going to take and a journey you're about to take, and if he perceives that the voyage will be with hurt and much damage, you ought to listen to him. Hebrews 13:17, obey them which have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. That is unprofitable for you. Every single person, look up here. I mean this for everybody in this church. There's no exception to this. Every single person in this church needs a pastor. You need a pastor. Christians that don't go to church, oh, well, my family doesn't need a pastor. Yes, you do. You absolutely do. Sir, you need a pastor. Your wife needs a pastor. Your children, your teenagers need a pastor. Your children need a pastor. Everybody in this church needs a pastor. And listen, that pastor is sent to you, as we study the scriptures, as a gift to the church, as a gift to the congregation. One of the jobs that I have is to be the watchman on the wall and to blow the trumpet. And folks, listen to me. I'm watching some of our young couples get on paths that aren't healthy paths. And it looks good because, folks, listen, the Bible says, consider the end. Consider the end. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. And sometimes a path looks harmless and you're getting on it. And a lot of times you're being led onto it by other people that are supposedly good Christians. And your preacher gets up and blows the trumpet and warns you, and all of a sudden you're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to make a decision. Listen, my job is not to live your life. Okay, you're going to live it and you're going to answer to God for it. But my job is to blow the trumpet when God says blow the trumpet. You know what? He came to them very personally. He came to them humbly. He said, folks, I perceive this voyage will be with much hurt. There's two ways your pastor is going to warn you. Please listen to me. I'm going to warn you through the preaching of the word of God and the teaching of the word of God through the pulpit. But also, as your pastor, there's going to be times that I come to you personally and say to you, you're getting ready to walk down a path, you're getting ready to go on a journey, and I perceive it's going to be with much harm to you. Folks, it's not only the lading and the ship, but also our own lives. It's got the potential to destroy your life. Don't go down that path. Don't go down that path. I could sit here and I can't. But I've pastored for 9 years here. I've been here for 20 years. As a youth pastor, I've gotten right in front of teenagers and said, don't do this. Don't do this. I know it seems like I don't know what I'm talking about, and I know there's stronger voices that are controlling your thought process right now, but listen to me. I'm your youth pastor. Don't do this. And can I say this? Thank God some of them have listened to their great benefit and with great blessing in their life. And you know what? They listened. Not everybody doesn't listen. Thank God there's young people that listen. Thank God there's still teenagers that listen. Thank God there's still teenagers got enough sense and a humbleness about them to say, you know what? Even if I can't see it, if my preacher's that adamant about it, I need to understand he's watching for my soul. Thank God when young people have enough wisdom to just listen to the pastor God's given you.
Amen.
It's just not teenagers that need a pastor. There's young couples in here, and there's middle-aged people. Folks, listen, just because you're middle-aged, you're a preacher, I'm the same age as you. Yeah, but you don't have the same calling as me. And you don't have the same insight as me. Come on, I'm just, you know, say whatever you want, throw all the rocks. Well, you think you're all that. You know what Paul said about that? He said this, I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. Jerry Ross doesn't magnify himself, but he magnifies his office. I don't apologize that to anybody. Okay, God's given you a pastor. And God gives your pastor insight into your life. And he allows your pastor sometimes to see dangers that you don't see. And folks, listen to me. Sometimes you're going to come up to me and you're going to say, Pastor, I'm thinking about doing this. I want to do this. I'm going to say, if you're asking me, I'm telling you not to. And you know what? If you really want to do it, come on, listen to me. If you really want to do it, that's tough. I know that. If you really don't understand why I'm saying that, it's tough. And boy, the devil's going to jump right on your shoulder and say, well, who's he? I mean, you know, he doesn't know everything you know about this. And who's he think? You know, I mean, I know how the devil works. I want you to listen to me. I haven't been a pastor my whole life. I've been a member of a church underneath a pastor for many years of my life, most of my life. I've been that more than I've pastored. I've had four different pastors, and I say this about every one of them. Number one, every one of them loved me, and number two, not a one of them was afraid of me. And I thank God for it. They weren't afraid to come up to me and say, you're thinking wrong about this. You're about to do wrong. Hey, your attitude's not right. Hey, I'm watching a little shift here. What's causing it? Hey, I sense you're backsliding. Can you handle that? Am I being your enemy? Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I think one of the greatest tests of a church member, one of the greatest tests of a Christian who's going to long-term make it in this crazy culture, in this crazy society, is the willingness to sometimes just trust a man of God whom God has given you to see something that you can't clearly see. And you know what Paul said? He said, listen, I'm not a sailor. I don't own the ship. I haven't grown up on the sea, but I know God. Well, you're not an expert. I know God. I know God. Please listen to your pastor. If I could parade them in here if they'd have the good sense to show up. There's young people that are their lives are a disaster right now. And I stood in front of them and said, don't. But they did. It's not about me being right. It's about them not heeding the good godly counsel that was offered to them. And so listen, please listen to the man of God. Many, many, many a testimony. I sat just not that long ago, and sad the situation now. But I sat in the office with a family, single mom, couple kids, and tears and regret. And looked at me and said, Preacher, I should have listened. If I would have listened to you, we wouldn't be in the mess we are. And then the lady said this, Preacher, I'm not going to make that mistake again. I told our girls, if we've learned anything, we've learned we need to listen to our pastor. And a year later, she's out messed up because she didn't keep her word. And she won't listen to her preacher. Now listen to me. It's not about me being right and somebody else being wrong. It's about you needing to respect and listen to somebody who loves you and watches over you. Please, church, be correctable. Be rebukable. I mean, I see things you don't see. I'm just telling you, I see things you don't see. I understand some things about situations you don't understand. God gives me discernment in some areas, spiritual discernment that he's not going to give the average person. There's not a person in this room that can stand up and say, that preacher tries to micromanage our life. If you say that, you're lying. Most of the people in this church, I've hardly ever come up to you and said anything as far as don't do this or whatever. But if I see a situation that I know is dangerous, I'm going to come say something. Please just be open to it. That's how you end up, avoid a sense of hopelessness. Now let me give you the last one, we're done. Look, if you will, in verse number 11. Nevertheless, what a sad word. I'd underline that word. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which are spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter. And now, wait a minute. We're going to slow down here. Wait a minute. Okay, first of all, the bad decision to go ahead and take off on this journey was because of two things. The centurion decided to believe the human expert, the master and owner of the ship, rather than the spiritual leader. Not only that, and because we're about to be given another reason. So he believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things spoken by Paul. And because, why else did he get himself in the middle of this storm? The haven was not commodious to winter in. The more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain into Phoenix, and there to winter. Now, what's the deal? Listen, Fair Havens was a great place, man. I mean, the Fair Havens, until winter came. And guess what? It wasn't commodious. What's that mean? I mean, it wasn't real comfortable in the wintertime. They had bad winters. So now Paul's saying, I want you to stay somewhere. And they're saying, yeah, but if we stay here, it's going to be uncomfortable. Listen, if we just go a little ways, if we just can make it to Phoenix, then you know what? Their winters are a lot milder. And you know what? We'll be more comfortable. Listen, watch this. Stop looking for greener pastures. Stop always looking for greener pastures. Folks that seem like they just go from one storm to the other are always on a journey somewhere where they think it's going to be better somewhere else. You know what? Find the will of God and stay there. Let me help some of you. We don't have a problem in Blessed Hope Baptist Church about this, and so I can speak freely on it, but let me just help you with something. Man, don't be a church hopper. Just don't be a church hopper. Do people sometimes, God move them from one church to another? Absolutely. But you know what? He don't do it every 18 months. Just don't be a church hopper. I'm just saying, you know what? You said, preacher, you're just trying to keep us here. I'm trying to keep you in the will of God. Wherever that is, that's where I want to keep you. I don't think you'll find a preacher more honest. You know what I say to visitors when I go visit them that's come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church? I tell them this. I'm not here to talk you into being a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm not here to tell you that it's God's will for you to be a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It might not be. You say, preacher, that's not a good sales pitch. That's not helping us. You know what I always tell them is this. If I talk you in to being a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, then some other man can talk you out of it. But if God tells you that this is the place for you, then you know what? Nobody can talk you out of that. This is who we are. This is what we are. We're here to help you, and we want to help you. And I oftentimes say this. I'll say it to the whole church here. I'll say this. If you are the type, you say you're in the home telling them this, yeah, well, folks, listen, I'm not going to. There is no use monkeying around for 6 months and then have people leave anyway. We're just going to, you know, I'm just going to tell them some things they need to know right away. And this is what I tell them is this. Listen, if you feel like that you've already arrived in the Christian life, you're going to be very uncomfortable at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Because let me just say two things. Number one, I will accept you and love you wherever you are. But my job is not to leave you where you are. We're all on a journey, including me. And we're all wanting to grow in grace. And we all need to be better for the Lord. And so I'm going to be continuing my journey. And there's a group of people that come and we're on this journey. But what gets in the way is somebody who thinks they've arrived. Because if you think you're arrived, you're just a stumbling block to everybody else that's trying to make some headway. So as long as you have a humility about you and a teachability about you and you're willing to be taught and realize there are areas you need to grow in, there are things you're probably going to need to change, there are ways you can be better for the Lord, then this is a good place because all of us here understand that from the pulpit to the pew, and we're all heading on that journey, and this is a good place to do that in. But if you think you've arrived and your job is just to show up and be an example of what everybody else ought to be and never will be, to be honest with you, you're not going to like Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You say, yeah, I say that. And I want you to say, I want to say this, folks, listen to me. This church isn't for everybody, but if God brought you here, then don't you decide every time you go through a little emotional trauma, or you don't get along with somebody in the church, or there's a problem, or there's a downswing, or something was preached that you didn't exactly like the certain way it was said, that you're going to trot on down and fight, because you know what? There's going to be a problem in the next place, or there's going to be somebody you don't get along with, or the preacher, and you're going to spend the rest of your life bouncing around like a ping pong ball. Just settle in, find a good Bible preaching church where God says this is home, and plant yourself there and plant your family there and raise your kids there and stay in the will of God. Because this whole idea about, well, the winter's going to be tough, I think I need to find somewhere more commodious. You know what? Wherever you go, then the next, when you get there, you know what you're going to find out? The summers there aren't commodious. And you're going to move somewhere there, and then you're going to find the fall there isn't commodious. And you have to move somewhere, and you know what? You're going to spend the rest of your life on this hamster wheel. This morning, folks, was introduction to a message that I think will be a tremendous help to you next week. But let me just say this. Before we close the book on 2014, let's examine the storms of life. And let's understand that some of those we suffered within the will of God, and it was part of God's plan, and we were right where we ought to been, and we needed the storm to build our faith. But there, then also be humble enough to examine 2014. We're going to close the book. We're going to put those things behind in just a little while. We're going to press on. But before we do, let's look at the storms of life, some things that we may have suffered and said, did I end up in that storm because I ignored good Bible principle? Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would use this portion of Scripture to help our church, dear Lord. I pray, dear God, that you continue to help us as we do travel together on this journey of grace. And Lord, it is a mountain journey. And Lord, because of that, there's times where you allow us to catch our breath and enjoy the view, and thank you for those sweet times of rest. But may we never grow content. Lord, we want to get to the top of the mountain. We want to be all we can be for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we head into next Sunday, Lord, I pray, dear God, you'd maybe help some folks who the devil has convinced are in a hopeless situation. Lord, I honestly, there's a part of me wants just to dive in and preach the rest of this message, because I know how the devil works. And he can bring people to despair and discouragement. And sometimes they can look around and honestly see no hope, no help, no human way out. But Lord, thank you for what we're going to learn next week. And thank you for being the God of hope and of help. And Lord, thank you for rescuing us, dear God, sometimes when we've even contributed somewhat to the storm that we may be in. We pray these things in Jesus' name.